for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. For more than 20 years, Emily Saliers, a member of the award-winning duo The Indigo Girls, has written and sung songs loved by millions. Her father, Don Saliers, is a professor of theology and a church musician. He's more likely to be found playing before a church congregation than a concert hall. Together, they've now written a book exploring the link between music and spirituality. It's titled A Song to Sing, A Life to Live. Don and Emily Saliers join me in the studio. We certainly do welcome your questions, comments. We'll be hearing some live music here in the studio, some from a wonderful CD titled Indigo Girls, and your calls, 1-800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Emily, how good to see you.
It's so good to be here.
Thank you.
It's a thrill, honestly.
Oh, great. I'm so glad. And Don, how wonderful to have you here.
Thanks, Diane. I'm an admirer of this show and honored to be here.
Thank you. I want our listeners to know we have a piano keyboard here in the studio, which Don is going to play for us. We have Emily at the gorgeous guitar. She's going to play and sing for us. But first, let's talk a little bit about this theme of your book, which is the link between secular and spiritual music, the link between Saturday night and Sunday morning.
Well, it's a book that the genesis was a chapter that Dad and I wrote with a bunch of teenagers and other writers. It was about practices of faith, things like honoring the body, discernment, getting rid of our stuff, music, all kinds of things. And so we worked well together on that chapter, and then we were invited to write a book about music. And I guess we have a fairly unique situation, being that my grandfather, my dad's dad, was a professional musician in the big band era. So we sort of have this musical DNA that's brought us on this path in life. And I took time out from my schedule as an Indigo girl and Dad as a professor. And we wrote this book, and it started as a series of long conversations, hours and hours and hours.
How marvelous.
And it grew into a book, and we talk about how, you know, saving souls with music in a smoky bar is the same thing as saving souls in church on Sunday.
How do you explain that?
Well, I grew up, with Indigo Girls, playing with Amy Ray, my partner. We were a bar band. We used to play at this local place called the Little Five Points Pub in Atlanta. Mm. And it was just a motley crew of people that gathered, you know, week after week, night after night sometimes. And there were people going through the normal human things that we go through, distresses, losses. They needed community. And most of these people were ostracized from what you might consider normal communities or certainly church communities. And they found, and we all lifted each other up through the communion through music in the context of a smoky bar. And so we always had friends come up and join us, and we joined them, and we got to know the community members. And it really was like a faith community. They were all wonderful people, just a little outside of, you know, certain parts of society.
But a secular community.
Secular, so-called.
And then we turned to a so-called religious community.
A so-called religious community. And one of the things about this, the magic of this time Emily and I have had together writing, is the way we've crossed over into one another's perceptions of the human soul, really. I think our favorite definition of music is the language of the soul made audible. And so I find my work is, of course, liturgical music, church music, and so on. It's the same kind of thing I hope for when I compose a piece or when I'm doing an organ improv, that I hope people will find a sense of depth in their life, that the music will touch down in their soul.
Did you learn a lot about your daughter in the process of writing this book?
Oh, this has been the great thing. This book is a work of love. After all, I've known her two-thirds of my life.
Yeah.
And I think she's known me all her life.
All your life.
So one of the great things about the book is that we learn so much more about one another and from one another. I learn things about music that music has taken Emily places, and of course music has taken me places, and we were constantly listening for this in one another.
But at the beginning, did you see your music as separate music? And through the writing of the book, did you learn how the music comes together as one thing?
Well, I think the short answer to that is yes, but there is a longer answer always to this, because I had a jazz background. Because of my father, who was also a classical violinist, I grew up Saturday night and Sunday morning. So in many ways, I was primed to learn from my daughter about where music has taken her and the kind of communities that she has aroused. I get letters from their fans saying how much certain pieces have meant to them. Not only just helped me through the night, but changed my life.
And you, Emily, what did you learn about religious music that helped you or affected your life?
Well, I grew up going to church, and I know the work my dad has done with inclusive language in hymns, and trying to bring hymns to the hymnal that represented different cultures, and a specific hymn sung in Spanish about liberation theology. And so I was fortunate enough to come up in a community that was very progressive, very ecumenical. I saw the good side of the church. Now, I'm a gay person, so I have known a lot of people to be completely ostracized. I've known them to be kicked out of their families, out of the church. And when I first was asked to write the book, I was very, very scared. I was afraid of the association with organized religion in any way, even though I grew up going to church. And one of the deepest parts of this process to me was being able to be honest with Dad about that. Mm. We talked through that. I got over my fear, and we ended up just writing honestly about the crossover of each other's music and how it's affected our lives.
Enunciate your fear.
I felt on the one hand, talking to some of our fans and a lot of friends and community members and doing a lot of gay rights activism type stuff, I felt that I might be betraying some people because their only experience with the church has been a negative one. I was afraid that I would not be able to speak clearly enough how I have a lover's quarrel with the church, but how my community of faith has enriched me, but how I still wanted to say I recognize all the pain and suffering that y'all have told me about through all the years, and I want to be true to that. So it was a lot of fear about making sure I could tackle that responsibility.
Emily Saliers and Don Saliers, co-authors of a new book called A Song to Sing, A Life to Live, Reflections on Music as Spiritual Practice. I know you're going to generously perform a number of pieces for us. What is first?
We're going to do a song that's called All That We Let In. It's from the latest Indigo Girls record, which is also called All That We Let In. Typically, Dad plays piano with me in this in this incarnation. The keyboard is a half a step higher than the guitar, so we're not going to do that today.
Okay.
But Dad is going to sing Amy's vocal part.
Okay.
So this is something new and different for Indigo Girls fans.
I have always wanted to do a gig with the Indigo Girls, and now we do it on your show.
How wonderful.